Miracles are waiting for us. How about that? This is a thought for today, here from Campo, California, and I'm the Dean of the University, Herbert L. Byerly. This morning, we're going to talk about miracles are waiting for us. Now, everybody who hears that is going to say, all right, I'm ready. Where are they? I'll get on the bandwagon. I'm happy to have miracles. Where are they? Where are they waiting for us? Well, miracles are waiting for us with every blink of the eye. This morning, I was walking in the fog. It reminded me of the London fogs where you see your hand in front of your face if you can find your hand. And it was very, very thick. It wasn't really that thick, but it was pretty thick. And I walked up toward the waterfall. And as I walked up toward the waterfall, it got thicker and thicker and thicker. And I didn't use the flashlight. I just used my inner eyes and my outer eyes, and I was able to see very nicely. Well, when I got to my point where I stopped, it was very thick. And there's a big rock there, and I sat against the rock and looked around. I closed my eyes for a few minutes, and then I looked around, and I thought, this is not a Harry Potter movie, because in the Harry Potter movie, the branches of the trees would look like witches' arms, you know. And these just look like lovely branches of trees. And you could see them against the night sky. And I looked around at the bushes, and there's nothing frightening about the bushes. They're all very lovely. And if I were to meet an international traveler out there, I would probably say, good morning. But I probably should learn a little bit of Spanish so I can say it in his language. Or he should learn English before he comes to America, or they. But I never meet any international travelers. It suits me just fine. And I am not my brother's keeper. But the international travelers, they do go by. I see their footprints, and I see their bottle of water that they had emptied and left in the side of the way. But that's all right, because I'm just remembering that miracles are waiting for me. And so as I sat there and looked around, I saw everything good and very good. I saw the mist slowly in the forest there, just gently snuggling around the trees and the bushes, making them all moist and nice. And I thought, what a lovely way to start the morning, being blessed by all that moisture. So that as the trees wake up and be ready for the day, they'll just absorb that and be so happy. And then I started walking away, and I had a very interesting, miraculous walk, miracle walk. As I was walking along, I was blessing Alan and Sylvia and Ingeborg, and my son, and different people. And I was thinking to myself, I bless you, and I see you spiritually illumined. I see you spiritually healed, or whatever. And then, pow, a big old fist comes and clucks me right in the head and says, hey, do you realize that once they wake up to the fact that they're spiritually healed, they're not going to remember anything of the past, even a second ago. They're going to be living 100% in the now. And our life is made up of seconds ago. Our life is made up of the past. Our life is made up of things we did before, but not things that we're doing now, you know? So, what kind of a life are you going to have? Think about what kind of life are you going to have if you can only live in the present moment and there's no past?
Glorious life.
A glorious life. Well, I bet you do. But that's the point. If you live in just, that's the point too. If you live in just the present, you will have a glorious life. But you don't know that, because you are still so stuck in living in the past, even a second ago, you know. And it takes training. It takes training. And I thought to myself, man, if this really were instituted in its perfect way, as it can be and will be, if this really is instituted, what would happen to our thinking? What would happen to everything we do? Everything we do is based upon yesterday or tomorrow or whatever, but not right now. We say, okay, the day has started. So Brian is going to come and do some work for us. But what's Brian going to do? Well, are you going to make sure he gets the information when he comes to know what to do? What are you going to do while he's doing what he's doing? What are we going to do while the world is turning? And do you realize? And then as I sat up there in the prayer seat, in the Om prayer seat there, I looked out and I saw the fog gently hugging the grounds and just merely lights here and there, not really houses or anything. And I thought to myself, you know, if we could have a fog perpetually around us, where we had to be living in just this moment now, we couldn't see anything else, we don't know about anything else, we don't even know whether anything else exists, which is a good idea too. We're just living in the now. What a miracle that would be. Well, I kept walking back from the water hole, and I kept mulling over all of you guys. And then I thought, hey, get in there, Herb, you too. So I threw myself in the pot too. And so I was seeing all of us living in the very instant. And then the thought came to me, Herb, you sort of play games with Saint-Germain. And you are saying that he is not doing the job perfectly because he's helping the various kings of France and so forth, and he's advising them in the operation of their kingdom. And you always recommend not doing that. You recommend that we keep our nose out of other people's business. But you know, Herb, Saint Germain was having fun. He was not in there because he wanted to change anything. He was in there because he just having the ball. And everything that we read about him, everything that people say about him, even if it's just fiction, everything they say is something that's just having a ball, something that's just having a good time. And really, this is what he's doing. Now, we can just have a good time, too. What if everything were just to stop right now? Boom! And then we'd have to go on from there. Okay. Say, for instance, the electricity stopped and telephone stopped. Mo, wouldn't that be exciting? And no television, no radio, but that doesn't bother us too much. There'd be no, no tape recorder, no internet. Yeah, that's right too. There'd be no need to connect and nothing to connect to, because essentially there'd be nobody out there, because it would be just yourself and whoever you create about you. And you create these people about you by the instant, not by a long-term program. You create them by the instant. We just received a contract for publishing our book in Germany, and the publishers over there, the people who are thinking of doing it, said, this is we have the right for a 6-year or 5-year extension after the end of this contract, and this contract can be voided with a 6-month notice every year, you know, anytime, which is true. And so, but you pay, yeah, that's true. But the point is that it can be voided. It can be voided. And the contract is only valid for human beings. Because now, for instance, if you were not a human being, and the contract, and for instance, and you died, how could not a human being die? But if you were a human being and you died, the contract would be void, because the person who signed the contract no longer existed. And so if you're going to sign a contract, sign it with a corporation, because the corporation can't die. But they think they're so smart in throwing in all of these things. They want to deal directly with the author. They want to deal directly with this and directly with that. And they'd be real smart to deal with the corporation, because the corporation, as I say, doesn't die, and it continues on. But you see, whenever you get penurious about something, you get so penny-pinching, you want every penny that you can get, you sometimes pinch yourself right out of the pennies. And very interesting. Now, Philip Schatz was our sponsor for publishing books over in Germany for quite a while. And he did a good job. And he really published them beautifully, beautiful covers, beautiful inside and everything. He did everything A1, you know. And we had a contract that was supposed to last until 99. But he died. And so then he sold his rights to the contract, or gave them his rights to somebody else. Well, that's invalid, because it was Philip Schatz that the contract was made with, and Herb Byerly the contract was made with, not a corporation. And so the moment he died, the contract was void. But we didn't push it. We just let it be whatever it was, because we can never be hurt by anything. Miracles, it's the time for them now. And like I was walking the path and coming back, and I was thinking to myself, okay, smarty pants, you guys think it'd be so great to have a spiritual healing and to have everything in the past, tup, 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 gone, and just live in the present moment here, as though that's some great blessing, that's some great wonderment for you. Well, anybody can do it. Anybody can just forget the past. Not that the world forgets it, but anyone can just forget it and go on living as though it were never there. That can be done. And it doesn't matter if the rest of the world knows that it was still there or not. If you live as though it were not there, you're in that moment of spiritual healing. Now, you say it's not really spiritual healing. A spiritual healing is when nobody remembers the past. Nobody remembers that you ever were sick. Nobody remembers that you ever had an illness, you ever had to take a pill. No doctor remembers it, no nurse, no hospital, no mama, no daddy, no wife or husband. Nobody remembers it, you know. Well, think of this once. Here you are, a very interesting person, with lots of illnesses. You're cancer, and you're this, and you're that. You're just up to here with it, you know. And your family knows about it. Your wife, husband, kids, mother, father, whoever, they all know about it. Your doctors know about it. Your nurses know about it. You write books on it, how noble you are in your working with the program and stuff like that, and how wonderful you are. And then you do a stupid thing. You die. And almost instantly, nobody is interested any longer. Mm. Nobody is interested in the illness that you had. Nobody is interested really in the technique that you used for healing, like Norman Cousin, you know. I don't know if he's dead or not yet, but when he dies, the interest in his book is going to wane tremendously. Primarily because he's not doing it in the now. His books are vital and valuable because they're living in the now. They're a miracle in the now. And our books are vital and dynamic while we're here. Now you say, well, look at Shakespeare and look at these other people. That's not what you're looking at. You're not really looking at Shakespeare. You say you are, but you're not. What are you looking at?
Content.
What he said, the contents. You're not really looking. If I were to say, she wrote the book, not Shakespeare, you'd say, oh, come on now. Well, she did. She was Shakespeare's amumenesis. She wrote for Shakespeare. Oh, come on now. Write something for me once. No, thank you. I don't have to prove myself. You see, I don't have to prove myself. The moment somebody challenges you and you want to prove yourself that you are what you are, or that you are can do what you can do, you'll fail. You'll fail. Your writing will not come up to the standard that you have been doing. Your work will not, because you're allowing yourself to be challenged in your miracle. Miracles cannot be challenged. Miracles happen only to individuals who want them and who are ready for them and who are willing to be happy with them and not say, oh my God, it's too good to be true. Because when you do that, you turn the miracle right off. And the miracle may be as sound and as wonderful and as real as anything under the sun, but you turn it right off. It's just like premature babies. Premature babies are not strong. And if you are not careful, you'll lose them. Do you understand that? Right? Premature ideas are not strong. And if you're not careful, you lose them. And you go around telling people your dream, and they will find reasons for your dream not being true. You go around telling people of things that you had seen, or things that you... Did you know I was there when Sai Baba ascended? Oh, how long have you been one of his worshippers, you know? Yeah, but that's for you. Did you see it happen? Did you know it happened? That's for you. Don't go around trying to tell the world and say, I am very special because I was there at that moment. Well, bully, bully. That's your miracle. That's your secret. And you see, every time we take our miracles and our secrets, our gifts, and we show them to the world sometimes says yes, most of the time says no. Or they will talk to you and they'll say, oh, hey, that's really something. And such a sincerity, you know, that's really fantastic. And the moment you turn around and walk away, they say, that silly person. Do they think that I believe that? Do they think anybody would believe what they just said? They're so silly. You know? Don't tell your dreams. Don't tell your innermost secrets of your heart. Live them. Enjoy them. Now, I am saying that in general. I'm saying that if you have a sharer, if you have a teacher, if you have someone who works with you and will not laugh at you, who understands what you're doing, even if it's stupid, you know, but who understands what you're doing and the steps you're taking, that's different. Because they are there as a support along the way. But the general people, even your associates, people who you're growing with, you don't tell them. Because when you tell them, you just blow a hole in your cake, you know, and it's just half it's gone. Like the little children, well, like Ellen when she was a little girl. Ellen loves cake, and her mother would break a cake and put it on the table and letting it cool, you know what that is. And so she'd go and do other things, and Ellen would come in the kitchen and see it there, and she would take a spoon and she would dig in from underneath. And she would dig out almost everything from underneath so the cake was empty. And so then when it was time to eat the cake and they cut it, plooch, it fell right down. But that's how it happens to us. If we let people take all the goodies and dig away like that, we're losing all of our quantity and quality. And we don't want to do that. Miracles are waiting for us. Where do you think they are? You say they're in your heart, they're in your soul, they're in your being. Well, that's where the recognition is. But the miracles are all around us. In every single thing we do, in every single thing we say, and in every single thing we are. Miracles are all around us, just waiting for us to open our eyes. Like me walking the path and seeing each one of you guys totally spiritually illumined, spiritually healed. And then I laugh because what you were so serious about before was no longer important. I love you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Yeah.